other agencies giving other topics, other trainings, so that we didn't have to address those things in just our trainings. So I've got no problem with that.
But we're only addressing this if someone comes to us and says, hey, can you put this out there?
Right. Or how we got involved with this expert witness is Don and I have been talking about wanting to do something for quite some time. Sim's been interested in that. Rich Hamp, who's the training coordinator for the DA's office, approached us and said, Sim's willing to pay for this. Can you help us out? And so we're happy to do that. I just don't want that to overburden. Like I said, I mean, it really comes down to Maryland, in terms of logistics. And so that's why I want to prepare just some written guidelines that whenever, whatever agency it is that comes to us and says, will you work with us? I'll hand this to them and say, okay, here's what we can do up to this point. But beyond that, you have to be responsible for that so that it's not impeding, what our mandated mission is already.
Unless it's some huge topic and we decided we're going to jump
right,
over them.
But right, yeah, right.
No, yeah, on a day-to-day basis, I agree with you.
Well, one example is Post has been a great organization to work with. They've been really, really great. And right now, we're working on Post, DPS, and UPC are working together on developing an advanced training for sexual assault detectives. It's been wonderful. So basically, my role is to be there as a prosecutor, helping get the make sure the prosecution perspective is represented and what needs to be trained. And they do all the cost. They get the people there. We don't do any advertising or marketing. They get everybody there, and they do everything that involves either money or marketing. They're doing, and I'm just providing my time.
Right.
So. We are just in about 2 weeks. We're going to film the first part of it there at Post. We're doing a 1-hour training for that's going to be recorded for officers all over the state for what first responders are supposed to do at the scene of a sexual assault case. So we're going to do a 1-hour recording, and it's going to be available on their site that any police officer can access, for the future. But it's also the first prerequisite for attending our advanced course that we're designing. So the advanced course is going to be 3 days. I'm trying to get them to do a certification, which they're resisting. Prosecutors always want certification, like DREs or SWAT team, with a little pin that they've got an expertise in that. I want a certification that says SVU. They're certified, highly trained people in SVU. They're resisting it. I don't like the certification part of it, because it's a hassle for them to keep up and that sort of thing in the future. But we all agree, everybody agrees, that there needs to be training for these guys, because we did a roundtable meeting with officers from all over the state several months ago, and they all came to the table, and the first question, we had them go around the table and say, what training do you get when you're assigned to SVU? Everyone at the table, there was over 20 officers there from all over the state, said zero. We get nothing. They just say, there's your desk. So anyway, it's really something that's needed, and I think it was a great thing for UPC to be involved in, because we need a prosecutor perspective when they're planning those kind of things. But it's going to raise the bar all over the state. So that was that's a good example of a partnership, I think, because they have money to do training. They're set up. They're very good at doing training. They're very high tech. They have it. They record it. They get it out to all the officers all over the state, and yet it doesn't cost us anything.
Right.
Except
that,
my time.
And that's the perfect example. The Post is really good. We've just had one or two other jurisdictions that said, can we co-sponsor? We'll even bring in national speakers, but then they turned everything over to us. And so we'll follow Stephen Foote's guidance, unless there's some contraries, we'll manage that. But I think coming up with this MOU right at the very beginning, so that other agencies understand, unless it's an exception, like, you're saying, Mr. Garcia, Mr. Chair, that it's something that we really want to back and, put some funding towards, but then that, we'd bring to the council first. So like I said, we'll take that to the training committee and, maybe flesh it out a little bit more.
One last idea. So in a number of our counties, we're now using wiretaps in Title III investigations. And I think, I know Salt Lake, Utah, Wasatch, or Weber, Davis counties are using them, and I think, is it Washington County now using
I don't know. That would be up to Brock.
And the equipment is able to be loaned anywhere in the state. And I know a number of other agencies have asked to use the equipment. So the problem is there's no training that we can find nationally on how to train a prosecutor on what is unique case law and a unique way of doing these cases and how to defend the wiretap in court. So there's not, it doesn't affect a lot of prosecutors, but there's a number of them that are doing these cases, and we've always wanted to send someone to training, but there's nothing out there.
And would that be something that would be joint with POST because the officer needs the training as well, or do you think it's separate enough that you need to focus on the prosecutor?
Yeah, there's training out there for officers. There's just not for prosecutors that we can find.
So, like you said, it's not, you know, it doesn't affect a large group. Would that also be one that could be webinared? You know, we send whoever we're going to train to do to POST, you know, film it so that it can be online to watch after the fact, but webinar as opposed to trying to create an actual, you know, on-site conference. And I don't know the answer because, you know, never having done those cases.
What do you want into the big conference as a breakout? Is that something you're looking at?
Yeah, right.
You could easily do a full day on wiretaps.
Okay.
Easily.
How many would attend though then, do you think?
Well, that I don't really know. I mean, I don't know what the interest is throughout the state, because anybody that has a narcotics type task force, they're either doing it or they're probably going to be doing it.
We've got, you know, some of this. Jared, is that something that either you or
Jan? Yeah, that's something that we've talked about doing. I've actually asked our guys to give it to your guys and get some information on that.
Okay.
Really follow through.
Wasatch, Scott?
We've looked at it, but it's a
knowledge.
Expensive knowledge, yeah.
Jan?
We piggyback off of Weber County.
Okay.
It doesn't apply to our county.
Okay. Barry?
Yeah.
Not really? Okay. Rob? No. Let's see. AGs, they have got their own thing. Stephen?
Yeah, AGs are
never had one,
but the DEA.
We do have a unit in Duchesne County Narcotics Strike Force. So I'm not sure
okay.
what they're doing right now.
And Will, do you guys have?
Have
somebody that's doing that in your office.
Yeah, in spite of the experience we had with Chad and asset forfeiture, we really try and narrow it down to one attorney.
Oh, who is that?
The wire. We're still looking.
Oh, still looking. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I mean, maybe it would be like a boutique conference, you know, just really small, or co-sponsor with POST and bring the officers in.
Well, the problem is even like, did Chad do all the cases after the wiretap as well? Did he prosecute them?
He worked them, and then he worked with the U.S. attorneys and with Tommy Lopresto, who's still in our office. And so right now we're talking to Tommy whether he wants to pick up that torch.
Yeah, there's not enough people that needed that.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is there other ways that we could provide the training?
Would it be a breakout session from
well, but,
the fall?
I mean, that's what Steve was asking,
dedicated,
but Jeff's you know. Thinking that it could be an all-day conference. So, I don't know. I don't know if somebody wants to sit and watch a webinar all day, but you know, maybe that's.
Well, you know, just some of the preparing the affidavit and getting the warrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole hour right there, and then defending them is an hour or two easily. You know, just the case law defending these things, and then it's really the tactics of how to get one and then defend it afterward. And we have a few attorneys, and of course Chad was. Expert, but I don't know what Davis and Weber have right now.
Almost sounds like as much of a workshop as it is a conference.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a 4-hour workshop.
And if you had the training, I'm not sending the guy.
Hey, Director.
Yes.
If I may pipe in on this training, there's really a couple questions you need to look at, and one is, what is more advantageous for the topic? You want synchronous training, which is, you know, in the classroom, engaging the students, or asynchronous, where you just record something and put it out there. I have found with webinars when designing them, you eliminate a lot of the filler and the fluff. You get right down to the nitty-gritty information, so they're more succinct, but you still have the luxury of synchronous training. So, I agree. If it's going to be over, you know, 3 hours, I think max, then you want to do something in class. But if it's going to be a webinar, you can go up to 3 hours. And we've had up to over 100 people attend those.
Yeah.
So is there, with if you've had 100 people, I guess that speaks to success. I mean, how is it when they send in questions? Is there somebody that monitors when those questions come in? Because I know I've been to webinars where nobody's monitoring that and questions don't get answered. Is there, do you guys have a system in place that somebody's just watching the queue?
So I got to assign Chris Fielding or John Jacobs, or even I could monitor the questions. And you, each instructor has a monitor in front of them, and they see the questions popping up, and we can handle those questions on the fly.
Yeah, they come on the screen.
You're
sitting there with
headphones.
Headphones and watching
yep.
the screen.
Yep. Headphones,
you're doing
everything.
That.
Okay.
Donna's done one.
Yeah, that Donna was just commenting. She's across the room, so you probably can't hear her. In terms of officers, do you have any idea, you know, the number of officers that would be interested in something like that?
We would market it for probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
You could have a couple hundred officers pipe in.
Okay.
Depends on the topic.
Right. Okay. Okay. No, that's great. Thank you, Scott. Any other discussion on that?
No, that's good. We'll
take it to the training committee with either of those options. So, okay, thanks, Jeff. Anybody else? It's been good.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'll probably ask Bob to send out a reminder next week if
mm-hmm.
we have topics to.
Yeah.
I mean, we still probably have 3 or 4 pages left over from last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Once it kind of rises to the top.
Okay.
All right. You want to give us the EPA report?
Okay, we have 2 new members on our board, Janice Evans from Hurricane City and Karen Walker from Provo City are 2 new members. And at the conference this year, we had 14 that took the CUPA test, and this is unbelievable, but all 14 passed. We never had that kind of passing rate, so it was really good. Right now, we're going to be roughing out our agenda for the next conference.
We're considering having a conference here, coming back. Bob just loves this. So we're thinking about coming back. Our first choice was Moab, but when I called down to Moab Valley Inn, they're booked
yet.
For the entire month.
Wow.
So, the new conference center, the new Marriott conference center that's, to be built won't be finished until fall. So, and I don't know what those prices will bring. So, just kind of a heads up, Moab is going to go the way of Springdale. Just giving you a heads up on that. Also, at the last council meeting, I don't remember which councilman asked about if they could see the CUPA test, and you're not able to. So what we are planning on doing for you is one of our board members, Joelle, made up a smaller compressed version of the test, of which we'll bring to the county executive meeting, and y'all can take that test.
Under the understanding that your results have to be published afterwards. Just kidding.
They'll be handed out like an SAT, and then we'll all gather it back up. I'll let you know what you score, but it's just 2 pages long. So if you would like to play along, that would be just great. So you can get a flavor of what your people. What questions are asked on the test. So
they should start studying now?
They should start studying now. If you'd like to study, the manual is on the website under the UPAA manual.
All right, thank you. Anything else, Chris?
I think that's all.
All right. Let's go to our resource prosecutors.
So I already talked about the collaboration I'm doing with Post, which I'm very excited about. We're about in 2 weeks we're going to film the first part of that, and then the next piece of it is that we are developing a 3-day course all investigations. We're still working on the certification, because here's how it always goes. Prosecutors always want certification. Cops never want certification, because it's a hassle for their agency. So anyway, I'm still hoping that'll happen, but if it doesn't, it's still wonderful to have the training in place. So lethality assessment has been a big thing, and it's taken up a lot of my time over the last, I've been talking about it ever since I came, the last 4 years, but it's really picked up speed since there are four pilot sites in Utah doing it and are going to report to the legislature this next session. So lethality assessment's been a big part of what I've been doing a lot of lately. This coming Friday morning, I'm going to be the keynote speaker at the judges conference. I'm kind of nervous about it because I'm talking to a lot of really smart people. So there's going to be district court judges and appellate court judges there.
I would tell you the old joke, but we're being recorded, so I'll just let you do that.
That's not really a contrast from what you're doing now.
Anyway, I'm really nervous about it, but they put, I agreed to do it, and then when I had a conference call with the AOC people a couple weeks ago, they were like, "No, you're the keynote speaker. Every judge is going to hear this." So it's becoming really kind of the standard of care for law enforcement in DV cases around the country. It's going to be something that I hope every agency will do in the state. Because it's just unquestionable, it reduces, and the four pilot sites that we have in Utah, it's reduced DV calls by about 30%. So that's a huge thing, and we don't know exactly what the homicide reduction has been so far, but in states that have implemented it, Maryland has 100% of their law enforcement agencies have been using it since 2005. And they've reduced homicides by a similar type number by about a third. So DV homicides. So anyway, I'm very excited, and I'm going to present to the judges how they should be considering it, that they should be looked, if there's a lethality assessment done, they should use it at setting bail and release conditions and all of those kind of things, and protect whether they use it to make a decision as to whether a protective order should be issued, those kinds of things. So. Hopefully, I really think the goal is, for me personally, I'd love to see every law enforcement agency using it. Expert witness training, I've already talked about. We've been working on that, and that's going to be set in February. I submitted an article to the Utah Criminal Law Journal just a few days ago. We got it finished and sent. It's about trauma-informed response. So I'm hoping maybe it'll be published in that journal so that we'll get out more of the details of what we've been doing. We'll get out to all attorneys and judges in the state. So the success, it's been a huge success. We're meeting next week to actually start round two of the study. So far we've done a study, but we want to make some tweaks and changes and do it again in West Valley City. The prosecution rate for sexual assault cases went from 6% to 24% once they implemented the trauma interviewing. So anyway, so that's what the article will talk about. I guess that's about everything I'm working on. This is sort of the low time of year for training numbers. The highest time is really in the spring when they do the CJC conference and the Crime Victims Conference. But still, my grant, between the two grants, I have a requirement that I train 75 people every quarter. Just so you guys know, I'm always well above that. Usually it's around 750 people every quarter, so.
Don't hesitate to use Donna. We brought her up, and she did our complete police department, and they were just aghast at the information that's out there, and it's made a huge improvement. So don't hesitate to use her.
Yeah, I come for free. I have to charge expenses, just like mileage, if I have to drive really far, but.
And Donna continues to present nationally. People invite her to come and present, so she's doing great work.
Yeah, I just did the, for the first time ever, I did the National Crime Victims Conference a couple weeks ago in Seattle. So that was really exciting to get to that audience, because I haven't been to an audience of just crime, designed for crime victims before. So that was exciting.
Mr. Skeen.
So you can review my report for what I've done the last quarter, but some of the things that I'm working on right now, my new grant year just started this week, October 1st. I'm on the federal fiscal year for my grant cycle. One of the goals I have in my grant this year is to do a traffic safety newsletter quarterly. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be the last month of each quarter, so December and then so on as we go forward. If you have anything that you want included in that, reach out to me, let me know, we can get it in there. One thing I've really tried to start doing is I've found out that training prosecutors isn't easy because they don't like to make the time to go to training outside of what they need for their CLE. I can get officers by the hundreds to line up to train all year long, but my statutory mandate is that I train prosecutors. And so I'm trying to figure out ways that I can better effectively reach out to the prosecution community and get prosecutors to come. This last month I did a joint marijuana training with Jason Marshall, who's the state DRE coordinator, down in Moab. I just drove to Moab for the day, and we did Grand and San Juan counties. We had 35, 36 officers there, but no prosecutors from either of those jurisdictions showed up, even though it was sponsored by the Graham County Attorney's Office. And so I'm trying to figure out how to better do this, and I think this is where you all can help me, is I started just making myself available to come for offices to sponsor training, and I'll come and do it for you. Layton did it last month. I came up. We actually had somebody from Utah County, one of the Utah County attorneys came up and watched it. Several of the smaller jurisdictions right around Layton sent their prosecutors, and I think it went well. And I really want to start doing that more around the state. I want to reach out to maybe you or some of your city jurisdictions as well and see if you're willing to give us a space to meet at and provide people to show up. And then I will come and do the training. Unlike Donna's grant, I don't even have to charge for mileage. I can be completely free of charge. I just need somewhere to do it. And so I may be reaching out to you to see if you can get me a location either with your police department or in your office or county or city facilities, whatever it might be, and then just have you publicize it to the jurisdictions around you, maybe sister or neighbor jurisdictions, the cities within your jurisdictions. I know in a lot of our rural areas, the prosecutors are contract in those areas, and they're going to be harder to get to come because they're not getting paid for doing those kinds of things. But I think I have a good training right now. Combating common DUI defenses. It's been very well received. There's been some lively discussions, a lot of information I think that's coming out that a lot of people don't know in regards to how to fight some of these defenses that we're regularly seeing. And so I may be reaching out to you, so be aware that you're not worried about random things yet.
How long is that training?
It could be anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. It's designed to be about 90 minutes, but just depending on how much time people want to take, I can shorten it if needs be, if people just want to do it over lunch hour, which is what we did in Layton.
Did you do one in our county yet?
I have not.
I'll volunteer pro bono in my office.
Okay.
We'll join the sponsor.
I'd love to come down and do that. So you did have one attorney who came to the one in Layton.
Yeah, we sent Charlotte.
Yeah. So, and Donna and I actually just recently talked about kind of doing some of these jointly to get both of our messages out and kill two birds with one stone, so to say, and we can come together and do these things together. If you have maybe an afternoon more than a lunch hour, we probably couldn't do it together over a lunch hour. But that's really what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get our message out. We're trying to get more people trained. Jeff reached out to me a few months ago and recommended a driver's license hearing training for officers, which I am putting together. It's slated to be given to the multi-agency task force along Weber, Morgan, Davis, Utah, Salt Lake counties in February, so I have to have it at least ready by February. One of the problems I have is, and I know this is being recorded, but I think driver's license division trains their hearing officers incorrectly. And so I don't want to train all of our officers on what the law says and how it's written and been interpreted by the courts when I know that the trainers at driver's license division are training them on a certain, on another way, because that's just gonna lead for more frustration to our officers. I don't know how I can fix that. I don't know if it is fixable, and I'm kind of just resigning myself to training them what the law says and then letting the frustration boil over once hearing officers do it the incorrect way. But
We had that problem. I can't remember the context. We actually prepared a handout our officers could take with them to the hearing that had some of those issues, like when the hearing officer would say X, we had a response, this case says this, or this administrative rule says this. So that's how we were trying to deal with that. I don't know how successful we were, though.
I went to their hearing officer huddle in April when all the hearing officers were trained, and I'm just, like, I'm sitting there just listening to some of the stuff, just...
Who's training them?
Their own people, their supervisors.
The AG's office doesn't...
Well, they have attorneys that represent, and I actually have been meaning to go talk to some of the attorneys that represent them at the AG's office to see if I can make headway there. Just like one example, blood trumps everything. If blood results come back zeros, they're not taking action. And I'm like, well, the standard is actual physical control and that the officer has probable cause for the arrest. Like, we don't even have to get to the blood result. That's the standard that's been interpreted over and over and over again by the Supreme Court. But if I sat in a hearing where somebody admitted to smoking marijuana, there was marijuana shake on the floor, there was smell of marijuana, they peed it dirty at the jail, but the blood result came back zero, so they didn't take action on the driver's license. I was in that hearing and watched it, and I'm just like, whoa. But that's what they're trained on. Blood trumps everything. If blood results come back nothing, we're not taking action. And so there's just things like that that really make the officers frustrated, and that's why we see more and more officers not showing up to these hearings, which complicates our role down as prosecutors, because then the attorneys come in and say, I need an impaired because my guy didn't lose his license. You know, they didn't take action on the license. So now we're trying more cases on the back end because they have nothing to lose at that point. And so the training will happen, and I appreciate Jeff reaching out to me and giving me that advice, because I think it's a good training and it will help our officers, but there is going to be some problems with DLV on those things. So.
That's a good place to start, though.
Yeah.
The AG's office.
Hey, Sheriff.
Yes.
Hey, if I could, I don't know who was speaking, but if I were there, I would hug that individual.
That's Tyson, our TSRP.
Yeah, he's right on point. Have we approached driver's license?
I have numerous
and
times.
And informed them of these improper trainings and information that's been disseminated?
Yeah, Tyson says that he has several times, but I think that's the key. I don't know if you could hear him. He said it, he wants to do it, and Steve Garside, and I was going to say this, is I think we need to find out who represents Driver's License Division in the AG's office and probably work with them to get it to trickle down, because it doesn't sound like going directly to the hearing officers and their supervisors is accomplishing anything.
Okay, it's Marcus Yockey and Kevin Bolander.
Okay, say that again.
Marcus Yockey. Like as in teriyaki.
Okay.
And Kevin Bolander are the AG reps for Department of Public Safety.
Okay.
I will give them a heads up about this, so they'll be anticipating a call from the prosecution counsel.
That'd be great. Yeah, it'll be Tyson Skeen that we'll be calling.
I've actually talked with Kevin a couple times on other issues.
Okay, so he actually knows Kevin, so this will be great. Okay.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it'd be nice to lock down these hearings because they are a frustration for officers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know there are some agencies that have just taken the stance, some of the smaller police agencies, they're not going to hearings, they're not calling in for hearings anymore. That's just...
I have heard that as well.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So,
and they're recorded and used against the prosecutor later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some issues to work out there. But is there any other questions anybody has for me? And again, in the spirit of what Jeff did, if you ever see anything, if you're having issues in your jurisdiction with DUI or impaired driving, alcohol-related things, call and let me know. I can put together a training specifically for you and come and do that. I don't mind coming to Garfield County and training for people. Like, that's not a problem for me. My grant covers all that, and it's not a way.